Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide in the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is Friday, the 17th of February, 2023, and we are back with hour number two. Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board, our producer engineer. Glad to have you along. How about that, Mr. Zommers? How about that? A general, a brigadier general on the show, live and in person. That doesn't happen every day.
I was just going to say, not something you get to hear every day, and it's cool to hear how much the modern U.S. military has opportunities. Like, people often think of the military as a one-dimensional thing, like, right, just shoot the bad guys.
Right, right.
And, but, no, you really can do most anything you want to do and also support the country through that if that's what you want to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'm glad you said that, Aaron, because again, I appreciate, if you missed it, last hour we had Brigadier General David May, the commander of the Air National Guard, here on the show, talking about the incidents that happened on Sunday over Lake Huron, but also just in depth of the Wisconsin Air National Guard, the National Guard in general. And you're right. There are a lot of opportunities for folks want to look at a career, want to look at going to college, can't afford it. And it's a way for you to serve your country and also go to school at the same time. And again, not for everyone. We get that. But certainly an opportunity. And I think as I said to the general, too often the only time we talk about some of these things is when there's controversy, whether it's, you know, training in Southwest and Central Wisconsin or the changeover to the A-35s here in Madison. But it's all the good things that they do in our communities, and we didn't really have a chance to get into that. Some of the service that they do just in the local communities to help out as well. But I have a feeling that we may see General May back at our microphones again. Really, really great guy, and appreciate him choosing Civic Media and our show to sit down as the first news outlet to talk to after this incident. And again, I didn't push him on a lot of the, you know, what was it that was shot down, because he simply can't. And it doesn't do me any good or our listeners any good to just ask a bunch of questions that I know are going to be, I'm sorry, I can't talk about that. So he talked about as much as he could. And I think, quite frankly, the last couple of days, yesterday in particular, the President of the United States came out and it probably told more than anybody else. So a lot of that information is already out there. It's looking more and more like the object shot down over a Lake Huron, not based on General May's comments, but based on President Biden's comments yesterday, probably not a foreign spying device. Could have been a private device. We just don't know yet. But the thing to remember is, as we talked about on the show earlier this week, is that these are Todd terms, that the radar, basically, the way we look for objects in the air has been ratcheted up to more sensitive. So we're going to see more things. So there may be more of these types of encounters just out of an abundance of caution based on that first confirmed Chinese spy balloon here a couple of weeks ago that was shot down over the Atlantic. So again, if you haven't seen the new Top Gun movie, I know I'm way late to the party. It's fantastic. It's really, really good. I couldn't believe how good it was.
I have to agree. I was not expecting much from it, to be honest. Right. Like, I know it was in production for a long time. Yeah. I know that a lot of people working on it were proud of it. Although that did give me hope that people working on it were proud of it. But still, sequels just suck. A lot of the time.
A lot of times they do, but not this one.
No, this one was great. It took a lot of what made the first one special and expanded on it. It pays homage without copying and pasting.
That's a good point.
It really evolves on everything.
Yeah.
In plot, in effects, in the romance aspects, in the friendship aspects, in the way it presents the military. Mm. I just thought it was great.
Two thumbs up there from Mr. Zommers and Todd. 10 minutes now past the hour, 9 o'clock. Another great guest coming up at the bottom of the hour here, the 9:30 hour. Brady Ewing from Richland Center, former fullback captain for the Wisconsin Badger football team, 3-time Big Ten champion, and went to 3 different Rose Bowls, and then also went to the NFL, was drafted, we'll ask Brady, it was either the 5th or the 6th round of the draft, was drafted by the Atlanta Falcons. And what does it take when you're a Wisconsin athlete or any college athlete, football player, and you're preparing for the draft. What all goes into that? We'll talk to Brady Ewing here at 9:30 at the bottom of the hour and talk with him. And then in hour number three at 10:15, we have Matt Flynn, host of Matt Flynn Direct here on Civic Media. He will be in. We will discuss this bombshell news story out of the New York Times this morning that several Fox employees, anchors, think Tucker Carlson, think Sean Hannity. Now evidence has surfaced in depositions in a trial that they knew the 2020 election was won by Joe Biden. They knew that Donald Trump lost. And still they went on the air and said otherwise. We'll discuss all that with Matt Flynn in hour number three. 11 minutes now past the hour of 9 o'clock. Here's a check of your weather forecast across the state of Wisconsin in our listening areas this morning. Our home station, WRCE News from the center in Richland Center today. Sunny skies, a high of 27 tonight. Mostly clear and breezy, a low of 22. Saturday, mostly sunny and a high of 42. Up in Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, in beautiful Wausau today. Sunny skies, a high of 24. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 19. And Saturday, partly sunny and a high of 34 degrees. In Amory for today, WLAK, Lake Air Radio. Forecast for today, sunny, then breezy in the afternoon. A high of 25 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy, breezy, and a low of 17. Tomorrow in Amory, partly sunny and a high of 35. We'll come back and check the day's news headlines for you, what you need to know after this. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is Civic Media Radio Network. Quarter past the hour of 9 o'clock. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show with the Civic Media Radio Network. Sunny skies for most of Wisconsin today. Looking for highs across the state anywhere from 25 degrees in Amory down to 24 in Wausau and 27 in Richland Center today. All in all, nice day to dig out. Roads this morning, at least earlier this morning, several roads still ice-covered, slippery, snow-covered. So many schools are either delayed or canceled in the southern part of the state. So if you're driving today, particularly south of the Dells, do so carefully, as you still may encounter some snowy roads here today. But otherwise, the rest of the state, enjoy your day, the sunny day, and get out and enjoy some winter activities because it's going to warm up over the weekend, might lose some of that snow cover. So if you are a snowmobiler or a cross-country skier, get out and enjoy that winter weather. 16 now past 9 o'clock. This is the 17th of February 2023. It is a Friday, and here are your news headlines, what you need to know on a Friday. President Joe Biden yesterday said his administration still doesn't know exactly what the mysterious objects over North American airspace were, but there's no indication they were tied to China's spy balloon program or surveillance vehicles from other countries. U.S. intelligence officials have said that the objects were most likely balloons tied to a private research research institution. Had General David May on the program here last hour talking about the mission this past Sunday. And here now, some audio that we have from that was released by Department of Defense. This is one of the pilots from the 115th Squadron Air Fighter Wing here based in Truax in Madison, Wisconsin. This is audio when they were encountering the unidentified object over Lake Huron on Sunday.
Definitely looks like something, there's some kind of object that's suspended in the air. It's hard to tell. It's pretty small. I cannot see it outside of my eyes. That's a good tone all the way in to the ADO. I just can't see it with my eyes with the glare in the cockpit. It's so small, but it's metallic or what. And there's, I can see like lines coming down below, but I can't see anything below it. Definitely smaller than a car. It's kind of like a blackish. I'm going to call it like a container. I can't really tell though what the shape is. It's just so slow and so small and you can't see it because it's so close. It's like a octagonal shape, I'm going to call it a balloon. You can definitely see strings hanging down below, but I don't see anything below it. It's pretty small, I don't know, size of like a balloon or something.
So there you go. Fresh audio for a release from the Department of Defense from the pilots of the 115th Fighter Wing here in Madison, Wisconsin on Sunday over Lake Huron. Mr. Zomers, we appreciate you finding that for us and bringing us that this morning. They're firsthand. So we can tell you that from what Department of Defense has released and having the general on the program this morning, it appeared that it was a metallic, one pilot said there, also kind of octagonal shape, fairly small. Pretty small, as it turned out. And again, the Pentagon said it took two missiles to hit the target. One of the missiles landed harmlessly into Lake Huron, and the other one struck the target and brought it down. Reportedly smaller than a car, according to the pilot there, the footage there. And again, octagonal in shape. President Biden, again, yesterday confirming that he does not believe, again, does not believe it was tied directly to China's spy balloon program or surveillance vehicles from other countries. So we shall see. But again, we appreciate General David May making us his first stop in our exclusive interview this morning on Civic Media. If you missed it, you can go to civicmedia.us. Again, civicmedia.us or wherever you get your podcast from, play the Todd Allball Show and play our first hour there with General David May of the Wisconsin Air National Guard as we talked about the incident on Sunday as well as the overall mission of the Wisconsin Air National Guard. Also separately in national news, President Biden underwent a routine physical yesterday and his physician said he remains healthy and vigorous and is, quote, fit to successfully execute the duties of the presidency. The physical comes as Biden, who would be 86 at the end of a potential second term, has faced constant questions about his age and health from conservative critics. The exam offers likely the last health update on the oldest president in history ahead of his expected re-election announcement. Overseas now, at least three more people have been pulled alive from the rubble of a devastating earthquake 10 days after it struck parts of Turkey and Syria. A rescued 17-year-old was dubbed the Miracle Girl when she was found alive under the debris in Turkey on Thursday, 248 hours after the February 6th quake. Her rescue was later followed by that of two others, ages 30 and 12, who told rescuers that there were more people buried nearby. Nearly 44,000 people have died in the region following the powerful 7.8 earthquake, according to authorities. More than a week on from the disaster, rescue efforts have shifted to recovery operations as a cold winter spell and logistical challenges continue to hamper aid deliveries. Back home now in Ohio, state and federal officials held a news conference yesterday in East Palestine, Ohio, as residents expressed frustration about the response to a train carrying potentially deadly materials that derailed in their town nearly 2 weeks ago. Michael S. Regan, the head of the EPA, aimed to reassure residents that authorities are focused on keeping them safe. Quote, I want the community to know that we hear you, we see you, and that we will get to the bottom of this, Reagan said, adding that the EPA plans to hold the train company Norfolk Southern accountable for its role in the derailment. An evacuation order, that is, order was lifted on February 8th after air and water samples led officials to deem the area safe. Since then, nearby residents have been urged to drink bottled water as a precaution. Back to Ukraine, Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky has ruled out ceding any territory in a potential future peace deal, saying it could lead Russia to, quote, keep coming back, he told the BBC News. This comes as Ukrainian troops are running low on weaponry and are burning through ammunition faster than the U.S. and NATO can produce it. Lawmakers in the EU Parliament also said in a resolution adopted yesterday that European leaders must, quote, seriously consider, unquote, providing Kyiv with fighter jets, a move that many Western officials have said is off the table. Meanwhile, Russian President Putin has switched his preferred mode of transportation from a private plane to an armored train out of fear that his aircraft might be tracked and shot down, according to reports by CNN. Tesla is recalling all 363,000 U.S. vehicles with its so-called full self-driving driver assist software due to safety risks. Another blow to the feature that is central to the automaker's business model. Full self-driving, as it currently stands, navigates local roads with steering, braking, and acceleration, but requires a human driver prepared to take control at any moment. as the system does make judgment errors. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration said that based on its analysis, Tesla's FSD feature, quote, led to unreasonable risk to motor vehicle safety based on insufficient adherence to traffic safety laws, unquote. It warned FSD could violate traffic laws at some intersections, quote, before some drivers may intervene. Tesla will attempt to fix the FSD feature through the over-the-air software update. Sad news now coming out of Major League Baseball. Famed broadcaster Tim McCarver, who also won two World Series during a long Major League Baseball career, died of heart failure yesterday. The National Baseball Hall of Fame announced Tim Carver was 81. Upon his retirement from baseball in 1980, McCarver was a broadcaster and later spent several years as an analyst for Fox, ABC, and CBS, where he called a then record 23 World Series and 20 All-Star Games. Today's number, 40,000. That's approximately how many new COVID-19 cases in the U.S. are still seen per day, according to the CDC. While the virus threat is easing and many people have returned to their pre-pandemic lives, data shows only about 16% of the U.S. population has received a dose of the updated COVID-19 booster. Medical experts are renewing their calls for COVID-19 vaccinations to improve the overall immunity in populations, so it's less likely that a more dangerous variant could develop. And news out of Pennsylvania and Washington, D.C. Gisele Bardo Fetterman, wife of U.S. Senator John Fetterman, says this. Her husband, Democratic Senator John Fetterman of Pennsylvania, checked himself into a hospital this week, quote, to receive treatment for clinical depression, unquote, his office announced yesterday. Fetterman is a freshman senator who was elected in November after suffering a stroke in May of last year. His wife, Gisele Fetterman, says, quote, I'm so proud of him for asking for help, unquote. A lot of courage it takes. A guy like John Fetterman, a national figure, tall, strong, looks giant-like. You think, how could a guy like that? First, he has the stroke. U.S. senator gets elected. Strong enough to say that I need help. I need to go to the hospital. I'm suffering from clinical depression. Not uncommon, apparently, as I read more about this by stroke victims, as it gets depressing not to be able to use speech the way you could, motor skills. But it takes a strong person to say, I need help.
Absolutely. And I think just like having a president with a speech impediment, I think having more officials who experience these issues seek help publicly really humanizes politicians in a good way, and I think it can destigmatize some of these things.
I agree with you 100%, Aaron. I mean, hopefully this could be a catalyst for other people who are going through chronic depression, severe depression. It's a type of depression where it inhibits your daily activities. It just doesn't make you don't want to do anything. You could be very emotional part of the day, might have weight loss or gain issues, other things that go with this. But instead of struggling silently and fearing for the political outfall, Senator Fetterman has said, look, like a lot of people, I need a little help. And we hope and pray that he gets it and continue on. Because once you get help, then you can move on. And that's the important thing. So I agree. We're thinking of Senator Fetterman and his family and hope for a speedy recovery as he seeks help for those depression issues. And finally, the most prominent stars and highest-ranking executives at Fox News privately ridiculed claims of election fraud in the 2020 election, despite the right-wing channel allowing lies about the presidential contest to be promoted on its air. Damning messages contained in a Thursday court filing were revealed, and we're going to talk about it in our third hour. Matt Flynn of Matt Flynn Direct, he's an attorney, former head of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. He will be in to talk us through the legalities of this and why Fox News may be in a lot of trouble and the exposure of these people, knowing that Trump lost the election and still went on and said otherwise on the air. We'll talk about that in hour number three. with Matt Flynn. Coming up on this show, or this hour, after the break, going to bring on Brady Ewing, former Wisconsin Badger, former NFL player. What is it like to prepare for the NFL draft? We'll hear from somebody who's done it. Brady Ewing from Richland Center is next. You're on the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. It is now 9:33 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Beautiful day in southwest Wisconsin and across the state today. Look for sunny skies, highs in the 20s for the most part here and there. If you're in Richland Center today, look for a high of 27. So balmy for February. Also, Richland Center joining us live this morning, as per usual, every other Friday, is the one and only Brady Ewing, three-time Big Ten champion, former captain of the Wisconsin Badger football team, and former NFL player, fullback for the Atlanta Falcons and Jacksonville Jaguars. He joins us. First of all, Brady, thank you for being flexible this morning and making way for General May in our first hour.
Yeah, absolutely. I was talking with Aaron as he gave me a call here this morning, and excited to get back and listen to that. I wasn't able to tune in this morning. So,
well, he's an interesting guy, and I think we talked about. I mean, you know, growing up in Richland Center, I'm sure you've been maybe out hunting sometime or walking around, and you see the F-16s fly over. I always thought it was cool growing up out there and seeing that. I know for some people they didn't think it was, but you know what they do with the training in places like, you know, we grew up and live at. That's critical for missions that happen like on Sunday over Lake Huron.
Oh, absolutely. I got to learn more about the mission itself, but I think it's pretty cool to see what those guys do, how they do it, how they train, how they prepare. And I know you don't always want to draw parallels to football or sports, but I think, you know, what those guys do is super impressive and super grateful for all that they do for us.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. But you're right. I mean, whether you're in the military or whether you're on a football team or any athletic team, at really any level, you have to. If you're going to be good at it, if you're going to be successful, you do have to prepare and train. I want to go back because we haven't had you on since the Super Bowl. And let me just say, folks, let me just point this out here. Brady Ewing called this. He chose the Kansas City Chiefs as your victor for Super Bowl, and you know he's in negotiations as we speak with Fox Sports to be the new analyst on the pregame show. So very very well done, Mr. Ewing. Very well done.
Yeah, they squeaked it out. What a good game,
right?
And you know, super fun to watch, super competitive, as you would always hope for the Super Bowl, but. Yeah, to see it come down the stretch there, and you know, much similar to the championship game for the Chiefs leading into the Super Bowl, you know, kind of a call on the fence that, you know, is it technically holding? Yes, but you know, in that moment, you know, should it be called and the impact it can have on the game? You know, that's up for question. But yeah, what a good game! What a competitive game to see both Hurts and Mahomes go out and do their thing, lead their team, you know, use their feet, battle back from injury, face adversity, and, you know, the momentum swings. It was a classic Super Bowl. It was fun to watch.
So get your thoughts on this, because, I mean, I'm sure, like, if you've been a player in that game, depending on what side you're on, you're gonna you know be biased and was that a hold or not? And of course, the play we're talking about at the end there was the Philadelphia Eagles were called for a holding call that technically, you know, grabbed the shirt at the beginning and held it for a second, but you know, did it really interfere with the play of the Kansas City Chiefs? That's up for grabs. Nonetheless, it was called. It gave it gave a first down to Kansas City and really helped run out a lot of the clock, and they kicked the field goal and only left Philadelphia with a handful of seconds left before the end of the game. But if you're playing, Brady, you know, can you differentiate between playing and seeing that call and being a spectator and also being an official? I mean, what do you do in all those situations?
Right. Yeah. As an official, which I've done a little bit at the high school level,
right?
You know, you try to look at each play and, you know, you're analyzing that play. You don't look at the bigger picture of what's going on in the game. You know, you always have that in the back of your mind, but you're looking at that play and you're trying to enforce the rules of the game. So I get that aspect, but you take a step back and you look at, okay, you know, was it a true, oblivious, blatant, you know, holding? You know, no, not really. Mm-hmm. You know, did it impact that guy? Maybe a little bit on his initial route, but it was pretty close to the line of scrimmage too. So, but to have something like that, kind of like the late hit, you know, a couple weeks prior, have such a big impact on the game. It's just tough to see that after such a competitive game for it to come down to one play like that and kind of change the trajectory of the season for the Eagles.
Yeah, it really did. But let's get back to what you mentioned, Patrick Holmes. I mean, what a stud. I mean the touchdown prior to that scoring drive. I mean, Mahomes, who was coming into this thing with a beat up ankle, got hurt again, or at least got aggravated at the end of the first half. And I'm thinking, well, there you go, the game over. I mean, Eagles are going to come.
Right.
And then Mahomes comes out. I'm not sure if Mr. Miyagi was in the locker room or what happened, but Mahomes comes out. He's suddenly you know, pretty good again, and you know, runs that next to last possession. Mahomes gets him in position by what was it, a 25-30 yard run? It was incredible.
Yeah, and I loved watching his face as he was running that ball.
Right.
And you could just see the look of determination. You know, you could tell he was fighting through a little bit of pain. He kind of put his chin down and just barreled forward. But yeah, I've had high ankle sprain in college, and a true high ankle sprain is when the two lower bones in your shin, actually the ligaments and things get stretched that hold those together.
Jeez.
And so even as you start to get back into, you know, competition, and, you know, those can be easily aggravated, especially that position when he was tackled by actually TJ Edwards, a former Wisconsin guy.
Yes.
Rolled up on his ankle a little bit, caught his toe in the ground. And that's the prototypical, you know, way that you aggravate a high ankle sprain. So, you know, with that, it takes a little bit of time for, you know, that pain sensation to wear off and kind of get back to a baseline, which, being that it was halftime, actually, I think worked out in Mahomes' favor. Like you said, maybe he had some Mr. Miyagi or some liquid injections at halftime to kind of numb that pain a little bit too, and get an IV and kind of get back up to baseline. But man, for him to come back and compete and lead his team to a victory was pretty impressive. And in the back of my head, I was feeling good that I had predicted that too.
Absolutely. And a couple of Wisconsin guys walk away with Super Bowl rings. I mean, you know, kind of a weird situation the way he came onto the team, but Melvin Gordon ends up a Super Bowl champion.
That's right. Yeah, probably not the way I saw him on social media kind of spout, or people spouting off to him and him coming back with pictures with the Lombardi trophy. But, you know, at the end of the day, he's still a part of it, whether it's preparation for the team during the weeks leading up to, you know, the second half of the season. You know, he is still a part of it. So it's the NFL and in any sports competition, you know, there's only one winner at the end of the year. So to be a part of that, whether it's Leo Chanel that's you know, out there playing on defense and special teams, or Melvin Gordon, I think that's something to be proud of. And again, even to get to that level is impressive, but to be a part of a championship caliber team, something to be proud of. So happy for those guys.
Yeah. I mean, hey, you still got a ring, baby. You still got a ring when it's all said and done. So
I
think it's great for those guys. You got a couple of rings yourself. As a matter of fact, three-time Big Ten champion with the Wisconsin Badgers during your time. And you stayed all 4 years and graduated from UW. And then you were drafted, and I was trying to, was it the fifth or sixth round that Atlanta drafted you in?
Fifth round,
in the fifth round of the draft. I think and now we have guys like Nick Herbig and other Badgers who have announced that they went into the draft after this year's season, not coming back for their senior year. I think a lot of people just say, okay, well, they're announcing for the draft for the next ESD. They're working out on the workout day, and then we all tune into ESPN or whatever and watch the draft, and you kind of cheer for the Badgers and hope they do well. There's a heck of a lot of work that goes into the time that you end your college career and the NFL draft. Am I correct about that?
Oh man, it's a crazy time. You know, you go from season where you've been grinding it out all summer. you know, hitting into fall training camp and going into the season, you know, battling injuries and adversity, different things come up along the way. You know, finish your bowl game, and then you pretty much turn the page very quickly thereafter and start training for, you know, some people have the opportunity to go to the Senior Bowl, which I was fortunate enough to take part in, and then, you know, start preparing for the draft. And your mindset as far as how you're training totally changes because you're starting to train and prepare for certain drills, you know, like a 40-yard dash or a 5-10-5 agility, you know, your bench press, your vertical jump, your broad jump. So, you know, versus getting ready to play a game, you're going to train very much differently than you will for those drills. So you flip focus, and if you're playing the Senior Bowl, that kind of gives you a week and a half where you're back to playing ball. But yeah, you basically start preparation and get ready for the draft. And that process in and of itself is a unique, you know, 3 or 4 days in Indianapolis, where they kind of test you mentally, physically, keeping you up all hours of the day.
Really?
And
they test the mental side as well. What goes into that?
Yeah.
What do they do? Like wake you up at 3 a.m?
4:30, and I don't know remember which hotel it is, but yeah, there's a train that goes right by it or like underneath the hotel, and so that's going through at all hours of the night, and then they wake you up and doing drug tests at 4:30 in the morning, you know, doing physical testing through the day. So actually, each team, or there's multiple teams in these meeting rooms. So I think there's 3 or 4 teams per meeting room, and all day, the first couple of days, you basically go room to room and you get in the middle of the room and all of the teams take their turn coming around to you, poking and prodding you, asking you questions about previous injuries, pulling, you know, I've had shoulder surgeries and hernia surgeries. So poking and prodding on your shoulder, checking your range of motion, your stability. You know, if they have a question about, oh, this seems a little off, they'll actually send you over to a hospital to get an MRI or x-rays. So it's a pretty intense process. And by the time what people actually see on TV, where they see, you know, running a 40-yard dash and running a, you know, running your broad jump and L drill and all that stuff, you've basically had a few days of, you know, 3 hours of sleep a night and, you know, just getting poking and prod. So there's,
I had no idea.
No, you feel good when you're going in and running your 40-yard dash because, you know, people have been ripping on your hamstrings and your knees and trying to, you know, see, they're basically treating you like a piece of meat for lack of better words.
It reminds me of like when my granddad used to farm, we'd go to Equity, a livestock barn, and look at cattle. I mean, it's like you're just laid bare for people to explore you.
Yeah, it's odd. And, you know, I had had some injuries in my college career and high school career. So, you know, I spent a lot of time at the hospital getting x-rays and MRIs. And I'm kind of a claustrophobic guy. So
really?
MRIs are tough enough. But to have, you know, two or three of them in a couple day stretches was pretty tough. But and then in the evenings, after you do that during the day, in the evenings, you sit down with all the different coaches, head coaches, position coaches, offensive coordinators. You know, some of them give you different written tests they want you to take.
Really?
Different,
like what? Like testing mental ability or what?
Like Wunderlich. So that would be one of them. That's a pretty short one. But there's other, you know, personality type tests or different questionnaires that they have you complete. So it's a long night. By the time you get to bed, it's 11 to 12 o'clock. And like I said, there's trains running through the facility and then waking you up for drug tests, different drug tests on the consecutive days leading into the actual physical testing. So it's a grind of a process, but again, that's where the best of the best in the country are. And that's what you need to do to, you know, be considered at that level. So
that's amazing. I had no idea the physical prodding and I mean, I thought maybe just like one exam and then that's it. But I had no idea that each team could come around and do that. That's weird. I'm not weird, but I mean, just like, I can see how it's taxing, right? Just mentally and physically.
Yeah, I remember talking to Scott Tolzien, and he was invited to the combine as a thrower for some of the other position groups, for the wide receivers and running backs and tight ends. And he said his shoulder was bothering him so much when he went and was actually throwing towards the end of his week there, just because every team wants to, you know, check your arm your throwing shoulders mobility, check its, you know, stability. Uh-huh. And he said it was so sore that kind of limited his performance on, you know, his game day or his, you know, performance day out there throwing to some of the different wow. position groups. So
that is interesting.
Yeah, no doubt it was a challenge, but, you know, it was a fun process to be a part of because you always were looking at that. As you were growing up and wanting to be a part of it.
Stay with us, Brady. I'm going to talk a little bit about, did Brady have an agent? And what role did that play after the break here on the Todd Alboz Show on Civic Media? The Todd Alboz Show. It is 9:50, 10 before the hour of 10 o'clock. Our guest this hour, Brady Ewing, three-time Big Ten champion and former captain of the Wisconsin Badger football team and former NFL player, fullback for the Atlanta Falcons and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Happy to have him on as per usual on every other Friday and appreciate him making adjustments in his schedule for being on in our second hour instead of his usual first hour because we had to make way for a general. Not often. I mean, we love you, Brady. We love you anytime. We'll do everything we can. But, you know, once in a while, the stars on the shoulders outrank us all. So we had to take a general mail where we could get him. But
absolutely.
Happy to have you.
That was my pleasure to flex for that type of a guest or anybody that you need to get in. So thanks for the heads up.
Well, my pleasure. We always try to put you first, you understand? We want you to have a prime position. You had a prime position, as we were talking about before the break, going from the Wisconsin Badgers, playing 4 years, being in three Rose Bowls, Big Ten champion three times. And then going to the NFL draft and talking about this whole draft procedure and kind of being poked and prodded and physically and mentally tested, mm-hmm. which I didn't know about until today. Question, at what point, A, did you eventually get an agent? And B, at what point did you get an agent?
Yeah, I did. And that process is unique in and of itself, your senior year. At the time, I think this has changed a little bit with the name, image, likeness and some of the stuff going on in the NCAA nowadays. But really, I wanted to focus on my senior year. And our coaches were always said the best way to put yourself in a position to be drafted and have, you know, an opportunity in the NFL is to put good film on tape. And so the approach I took was to focus on, you know, preparation to help the team at Madison and put good tape out personally and as a team on Saturdays. And I somewhat handed that process over to my parents, actually, initially, mm-hmm. to kind of go through the vetting process and to, you know, meet with a couple agents and just continue communication with them as I try to do everything I could do to put a good product out on the field on Saturdays and help the team. And so once the the bowl game got done, I was able to sign with an agent. Ended up going with XAM Sports out of Madison area, and you know they were a big help in providing direction leading into the Senior Bowl, into the draft process, pro day process, and just giving advice. And they also helped financially with. I trained over in Waukesha at NX level,
sure,
and you know, fronting the bill for some of the training for accommodations and travel and things like that leading into the draft process. So that was a big part of, you know, their investment in me as, you know, I was working to get an opportunity at the next level.
So how much does your agent then step in? Are they just the person that's doing the business side of this, trying to negotiate and kind of quote unquote sell you to NFL teams, or do they actually have either themselves or in their shop? Do they say here's some of the physical workouts you need to do? Do they link you up with the trainer at Waukesha, or is that kind of on your own?
Yeah, so each agent handles it a little bit differently, you know. XAM had some relationships on where they would typically send guys down south. You know, a lot of guys go down to Florida or California or Arizona to train leading into the draft because of the warm weather, and you can get outside and do some of your speed work and stuff outside. But I wanted to go over to Waukesha and Brad Arnett and had some experience with him from my time in college, and that's where I wanted to be. So they supported that and helped me, you know, find an extended stay hotel and all of that. And then you know, that's what they're doing as far as managing, you know, talking to GMs, talking to, you know, scouts, player personnel managers for these NFL teams, getting feedback leading into that draft. And then once, you know, the draft is finalized, helping negotiate that initial deal. From what I understand is the, you know, the first deal as far as financially is pretty much slotted based on whether you are, you know, first round pick, second round pick, fifth round pick, whatever free agent, you're kind of slotted in your minimums as far as what your base salaries will be, things like that. Where an agent can really come to help you is when you're negotiating, if you had the opportunity to get to your second contract, which I never did, but I think that's where you can get the most bang for your buck as far as having agent involvement.
Sure. So going into draft night, Brady, for you or for other NFL players, did you or is it more common to kind of have a sense of, well, here's the top two or three people we think you're going to go to, or is it a complete surprise? Mm-hmm. I mean, how much certainty do you have going into the draft weekend of where you might land?
There's definitely, you know, a handful of teams that you have zeroed in on who you think is interested based on conversations that you've had with teams at the combine.
Right.
Leading up to the draft, personally, you know, that's one thing that a lot of teams did is the week or two leading into the draft, just give you a call, check in, you know, tell you they're very interested in you, you know, where they're looking at you at as far as on their draft board, you know, where you might be, asking if you're healthy, things like that. So we definitely had, you know, four or five teams that we knew were either in the market for a fullback and a special teams guy and or, you know, had expressed interest through the process. So one of those teams, actually, surprisingly, Atlanta wasn't on that, you know, top four or five list, which is interesting because they had a long-term fullback that they had on the roster leading into the draft that they ended up releasing after the draft. They weren't necessarily on the radar, but the Texans were pretty high on that list, and they had a draft pick, I think, three or four picks after Atlanta at the 154 slot where they had taken me that we thought, you know, I might go. So traditionally the, you know, top fullback or two goes the fifth or sixth round. And so everything kind of fell into place of how we would have expected it. It was just a little bit of a surprise to see Atlanta come in and draft me.
One of the top tragedies of Wisconsin sports history is the Green Bay Packers missed their opportunity and did not draft Brady, and I will forever not forgive them for that terrible. you and T.J. Watt both could have been Packers, and they passed up. But got about a minute left, Brady. For those waiting for that call, Badgers and others, what's it like when you finally get that call and know that all the hard work paid off and you're in the league?
Surreal, honestly, and to be there with your family and those that have been such a big part of your journey and your process, it's super rewarding. But like anything, it's really the beginning. You know, there's certain guys that look at getting to college on a scholarship or getting to the NFL on a draft pick. They look at it as a destination, and that was something that, although it had always been a dream of mine, it was the beginning of, you know, the work starting again, because I wanted to get out and prove myself and be part of something, you know, be a part of another team and some more success. And that was really the opportunity that catapulted and kind of reinforced all the work that had been done up to that point, the preparation, kind of validated that and then pushed me forward to that next phase.
Brady Ewing,
so
we appreciate
super rewarding.
We appreciate you, as always, giving us some insight onto the NFL draft. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. Have a great day, my friend. Also, Brady is responsible for me having an Atlanta Falcons cap, T-shirt, and other things in my closet. Back after this. Thanks for being with us on the Tom Holmes.